time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
All right, welcome to it. Roundtable has begun for this Wednesday, the 20th of May. Joining us, the Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star, Robert Benzie. Hello, Robert.
Jay.
I want to read a tweet from our next panelist this afternoon, who was tweeted at regarding his podcast. Interesting. They're usually on the same side being conservatives, to which he replied, "That's me for sure, a dyed-in-the-wool Tory." That, of course, is News Talk 1010 political analyst Scott Reed. How are you, Scott?
I'm just great. That would be grand news as far as my grandmother would be concerned. She's a United Empire loyalist from Eastern Ontario and is always upset that I didn't join the Orange Lodge and vote for Joe Clark.
Wow. Not saying I like her better than I like you already, but there we are. Let's start off with a conversation we had with our infectious disease expert today. You know, he's a very well-respected guy. I don't have to speak of his credentials, but I want to just kind of illustrate the fact that this isn't some Yahoo that we got out of a dumpster somewhere. This is one of the most well-respected infectious disease experts in the country. He came out rather critical of the head medical people in the province, questioning, you know, why the testing isn't up to the numbers that they have been touting all along, saying that the reaction of opening up right now, it's way too quick to do so. And he talked a little bit about the possibility of a second wave and what that might look like. Take a listen.
So people are frustrated now about their freedoms being restricted. Well, we could be looking at something that approximates martial law, you know, if we have to double down on our restrictions to get things back to a place where we need to be with a second wave. I'm not looking forward to that. I don't think anybody wants to look forward to that. And so we need to make the changes now to make sure our testing is in place and the measures we're taking to opening up are being done safely with appropriate oversight and supervision. And I'm very concerned that that's not happening.
Robert, when you hear that, I mean, obviously you've heard from the province and their medical officials. It seems like there is a bit of a disagreement. I follow a lot of these people on social media that have been saying quite vocally that we've got the wrong people making the wrong calls to politicians, and now the politicians are the ones that are going to be on the hook for these decisions.
Well, I mean, you mean Premier Ford has been criticized for being too cautious and too canny on this. But I would argue, if I were one of his spin doctors, and he doesn't need me to spin for him because he's got lots of effective people that do, that it's better to be too careful than too careless in this sort of situation. We already have 2,000 people that have died from COVID-19, more than 2,000 people in Ontario, and it could have been a lot worse. So has he erred on the side of caution by listening to Dr. David Williams and other health officials? Yes, he has. But I would argue that that's probably not such a terrible thing in that the death toll could have been much worse. And the second wave that your infectious disease person was talking about is something that we should be very afraid of and very worried about.
Scott, any concerns in your gut at the very least when you hear a guy like this talk that maybe we are going a little too quick?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's an indisputable worry. Here's the unpleasant reality of this, as far as I can tell. And I don't know that this is a condemnation of the public health officials we are listening to, or if there's some other group of people that are smarter that know more. I don't think there are. The fundamental reality is we don't have a vaccine. We don't have a treatment. We don't understand its epidemiology. We don't know if it will mutate. We do not have tracing and testing programs that are adequate. And as a consequence, as we reopen, it's a gamble, right? Why are we reopening? We're reopening because the number of tracked, although it's inadequate because we don't have good testing, number of tracked cases have started to diminish. Diminish in what respect? Diminish in a sense that we don't think the healthcare system will be overwhelmed. Not diminish in terms of our likelihood of getting COVID. So ultimately, we don't know. We don't know if we've done a good job and that has restricted the communicability of COVID, or the fact is it turns out that it's not that communicable. We just don't know. We're going to find out in the next 2-3 months. And if we've guessed wrong, then yeah, we're going to see governments impose really, really, really unpleasant and difficult rollback decisions. And I'm not saying that that's a reason not to reopen. I'm just saying when governments tell you that we're reopening in a way that's safe and smart and guided by public health imperatives, that's not true. We don't know. We know literally the square root of SFA.
We're getting a lot of texts, and I think it's a very valid point, Ryan. People saying, you know, how is it that you guys all along since this began on News Talk 1010 have been saying, listen to the experts, listen to our politicians. They're doing a good job. Mm-hmm. Let's all toe the line. Let's all do what we're told. And then in the space of one afternoon when an infectious disease specialist tells you that we're opening too fast, you suddenly change your tune. And I think my answer to that would be is it's a fluid situation, sort of mixed with what Scott just said, was that we really don't know anything about this, and every day the information sort of changes, and you have to take it seriously.
Yeah, listen, for me, I mean, we've had the same infectious disease expert on the show since this entire thing began. When you talk about the public health officers, those are the only people you can trust. But when they start to go to the level of this is the time to reopen and there's a dissent, that's where my opinion starts to pump the brakes. And I say, OK, well, if there's dissent in the medical community, that's dissent worth listening to. Speaking of dissent, earlier on, a couple months ago, masks weren't the chic thing to talk about. Today, every politician, seemingly from the mayor on up to the prime minister, we're talking about masks.
If you are taking public transit, please wear a face covering. If you're taking a taxi or a rideshare vehicle, please wear a face covering. If you're going into a store, wear a face covering.
Robert, every level of government has preached this today, and I understand as you reopen, that's what you want to, I guess, get out there to people. But at the same time, are they doing it heavy enough? And should this kind of thing just be a mandatory message?
Well, I mean, Ryan, it's a tough thing to make mandatory. I mean, I don't think you can force people walking down the street to be wearing a mask. I guess as a private, if I owned a shop and I wanted customers to come in, I would ask them to wear a mask and I would wear a mask. I went to buy new running shoes yesterday at Running Room on Bay, and I was so glad to have a store that was open that I wore my mask in there. The staff in there were wearing their masks. And we cleaned our hands, and it was weird and surreal to be wearing a mask while you shop, because I wasn't robbing the place, I was buying something. But it's the new normal, I guess, is the cliche. We've all talked on the show before about how we all wear masks when we go to the LCBO or the supermarket, and now that other stores are opening up, you're going to have to get used to that. And I don't have an issue with that. I'm not crazy about government telling me I have to wear a mask if I ride the streetcar. I mean, personally, I would. I'm not riding the streetcar right now. I'm walking because I don't really feel like being on a streetcar during a pandemic. I'm not super crazy about forcing people to wear masks in places like that. Private stores, that's a different situation.
Scott, how about you?
It relates to the first point we were talking about. Because we don't actually know anything, people are defaulting as we reopen to the precautionary principle of, well, I don't know, guess it's better to wear a mask. So that's our recommendation. And, you know, that's sensible within its own logic. But it also highlights the illogic of the situation that we've been in for a while, which is, you know, we just don't know what the realities of this is. So, you know, I think we're going to find ourselves in a situation in October, and I hope you mark the moment, but I literally believe this. In October, we're going to find ourselves saying, if you're not wearing a mask, you're going to get charged.
Wow.
All right, let's move on to sports fields, playing fields. The city today announcing that they're going to open up as some of those. I guess this kind of goes to the same narrative, so we can go through it kind of quick. But is there any concern there, Robert, that, you know, the thinking is, okay, we can have a father and son or a mother and daughter or a father and daughter out there kicking a ball around, but they don't want teams playing on the fields that they were designed to have teams played on?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, Ryan. I think this is going to be a tricky one. I mean, so what, you're going to have... I can't go play soccer with you, but you can play soccer with your kids. I can play soccer with my kids. It's going to be hard to enforce that. I think Scott's right. We don't have enough information to know for sure what is safe. But I think we also have to remember that this virus has its epicenters are unfortunately are in long-term care homes. So I don't think it's a danger to kids. I hope it's not a danger to kids that it is clearly to our seniors. So I mean, opening sports fields and things like that, I think giving people some room to run around, that is really, really important, because everyone's getting stir crazy. I'm stir crazy. I'm sure you guys are too. I miss seeing everyone in person. I'd love to be sitting at the studio with you guys right now, not doing this virtually over Zoom. And I think we're all in that same kind of boat.
I'm going to just change things up and get Scott's take on this, just to end on a light note, shall we? Half of people who exercise have given up on having a beach body. Scott, what year did you give up on your beach body?
I know that I'm going to have exactly the body I had pre-quarantine, and that body actually is your body, Ryan. I'm going to have the Ryan body when this is all over.
The Ryan bod.
Robert, are you getting any extra exercise out there? Have you given up?
You know what? I haven't. I walked 15,000 steps yesterday, so that's pretty good. I was happy with that, but I had to go to Queen's Park. I had to walk to and from Queen's Park, and so I'm trying to get a little bit of exercise, because frankly, I am going stir crazy, and there's only so much beer and wine that you can drink before you start to feel kind of gross.
That's not a fair question to ask, Rob. Come on.
Yeah.
He's a tight little compact fit unit. Like, he's never had a problem with gaining a pound in his whole life.
I'm life. I'm like Robin, and Scott is like Batman, but Adam West Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob just doesn't want to get out of shape.
Adam West. Tell about Val Kilmer, but as he is now, I'm a mudslide. I've been my whole life.
Val Kilmer Batman.
Oh, man. Nothing like doughy Batman. All right. Scott Reed, Robert Benzie, we appreciate it.
See you guys.
That's right.
I was just going to say, I think that that Benzie doesn't want to get out of shape because he doesn't want to hear about it from his haberdasher.
Just don't want to make sure that the tailor's got it. Hey, man, exactly. It's well-dressed.
The tape doesn't lie.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.